History and Heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson Polk is here. Oh, look at that. Melissa Sargent is here. All funny things happen, and all of a sudden you just show up, and that's a good thing.
Like a bad penny.
But to find your microphone here at some point, it's on the air somewhere. I got all these open in here, Circa. I don't know what you're
doing. I'm back in. There I am.
How'd you get there?
I flew back in. That's how I did.
It's always something here in radio.
I'll tell you. Yes,
but, you know, it's that Nino effect.
Yeah, Nino.
My son.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Nino that was here before.
My previous show. He sits there and messes with the mics, and we have to show up and correct. Anyway, you're back. Good to see you.
I'm back. I was down in Galveston. What an amazing place. I mean, their history that they do, their cultural tourism, their heritage tourism is amazing.
Are they kind of professional about it?
Oh, my gosh. El Paso needs to go down there and stay around a while and learn from them.
See, we've got better history than they do, but we don't promote it anywhere near they do.
They should, yeah. El Paso needs to go down and learn how they can promote the heck out of it. And they have some pretty doggone good history, and they really know how to promote the heck out of it.
But I'm just saying ours started first in Texas, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, but, you know, if we don't promote it, who knows? You know, but they know how to promote the heck out of theirs, and
welcome
it was a
back.
Lot of fun.
So, but moving on to where we are now, we got this radio show to do, as we do every Saturday morning, and we got that strange-looking mountain out there, which was probably about like it was in 1953 when the B-36 hit the mountain.
Yeah.
Look at the mountain as it is right now, and you can barely see Crazy Cat, and there's nothing on the other side. So when that pilot hit the mountain, he thought, "Well, I've cleared the Franklins. I can see the Franklin." It was
kind of
crazy,
same kind of weather. Yeah,
and it was Crazy Cat. So he turned. Yeah. It was exactly like this.
Yeah,
the mountain was gone. He didn't know. He'd never flown here before, and so that's how that went. But it's the same kind of effect out there. And it was on December 12th.
Yes.
That's kind of similar.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
To the radio show we have here, it is the place you can find El Paso history. It is also the place where we say Texas history begins in El Paso, even if you went to Galveston.
That's right. Hey, we were down promoting the radio show. A lot of people, I actually ran into some Las Cruces and some people from Santa Fe, and they were really interested in hearing about the radio show, and they, you know, we may have turned some people on to the show.
Well, so be it.
So they're listening to us.
But as you're back here now, you got this KTSM AM 690, and where else can they find us? It's somewhere out there.
On the internet. They can go to KTSMradio.com and listen to us, or they can go to the iHeartRadio.com link, and they can put it on their smartphone, their tablet, or their computer, and take us anywhere you go, like to Galveston or around the world.
It's a good thing. And also, starting in January, they're going to simulcast what's actually on the radio, what's actually on the iHeart feed. Right now, they're a little bit different. They changed the brakes.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, they're not selling the commercial online, so they don't give it online. But the mechanism to do all that is like, that's crazy.
Oh, okay.
I think that's
that'd be good.
I hear that's changing. Anyway, you got your trivia going on here today?
Yes, we do. We're going to be giving away $20 in food coupons for Pepe's up there in Canutillo, the best New Mexican food, which I did miss while we were gone. And then also an El Paso Gold DVD for, you know, you have the choice. You could take the $20 in food or El Paso Gold DVD, of which we have a selection, which is way
out. Tom Lee's going to be a big one to promote today. We got a bunch of Tom Lee's in the stack there.
Yes, we have Tom Lee's, El Paso. We have Waco Tanks. We've got all kinds of stuff. Smeltertown, Gunfights of the Old West.
Smeltertown's kind of bizarre. We'll promote that one, too.
Of El Paso's Mountain, McGoffin Home, you name it. Ghost Stories. We got all the usuals. Yeah.
That's a good thing. And I'm not going to make it to Pepe's today myself. We got an adventure we're going to do next week on the radio. I got to go deal with that today.
Yeah.
So.
And Keystone Heritage Park. We've got the Luminarias tonight, which unfortunately was canceled because of the rains all day yesterday. We couldn't have put the Luminarias out.
But they're out tonight.
They will be there tonight. There's no rain.
So go illuminate yourself.
Yes, come join us. We're going to have music.
Bring a donation.
Bring a donation. We're going to have the
garden. Walk around in the dark and kick some candles.
No, we're not going to have dark. It's going to be lit up and luminarious. Yes, we're going to have bonfires. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's our great event out there. So come on out tonight. We will be there tonight.
So be it. The thing about the history moment, you got that going on. You put something bizarre in there. What was that?
Yeah, this is the Saint Painters. You know, cause
that's it, the retablo people.
That's right. The people that painted the retablos, and it was something that came from Old Spain to New Spain to the New World, since we're going to be talking about
what
that
a
later.
Nice segue
yeah,
into
like
our
that.
Conversation
so,
today.
And kind of the interesting changes because of the different things they had to use in the New World versus the Old World, and how the indigenous people took to that when they brought him here to teach religion.
One more thing to tell you about Paul Whitler Graphic Design, 581-7054. Paul has been helping us with the missing Pattersons.
Ah.
He just posted another.
He found them.
Well, he found the articles from the Herald Post from 1957, and he's posting them sort of in sequence. What happened in December 1957, they finally figured out these people aren't coming back. So if you want to follow the missing Patterson story like it was in the paper, it's on our ephistory.com page, Paul Whitler Graphics. 581-7054, that's what we do for him.
I bet if he went to the archives, that's where they are. It's buried under all the papers.
Well, the thing is, you can go pull these out of the archives yourself, but you got to get access to the Herald Post, which we did. And we pulled them all at once, and he's putting them out there a couple of times a month. Anyway, to the subject at hand, you mentioned New Spain.
New Spain.
Do you realize you're sitting in a place that used to be New Spain?
Yes.
And
yes.
Most people in El Paso think about, I was never New Spain. Well, you personally weren't. But your location was.
Well, I found out I've got 20% Spaniard in me now, so hey.
Oh, is that starting to explain how you are?
Yeah, that's quite what I am.
I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know.
But to
it's
talk
a gypsy
about
in me.
The subject of New Spain, we have got the Honorary Counsel to Spain from El Paso and Juarez, and her name is Martha Vera. Good morning.
Good morning, and happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you, and welcome here.
Thank you.
And you started on a quest to do things about Spain that nobody, I don't think, has ever done. It's the Spanish Council. Explain that. What is why are you that?
Well, our territory, the General Council is out of Houston. And the jobs of the Council are to protect the Spanish citizens, to promote Spanish history in wherever we are, because Spaniards were everywhere.
But you're not a Spanish citizen.
I'm not a citizen, but I am of Spanish descent.
But you're a Spanish person because the way
yes.
you've grown up and your heritage.
Yes.
And so how do you trace your roots to Spain?
Well, on my mother's side, they went back to Bilbao and Guecho, which is in northern Spain. It's part of the Basque area.
So did you come home with the Oñate crowd? Did you show up with Cortez?
No.
None of that.
We came later.
Okay.
Yes.
But so you would be called a, what's the right word? There's a peninsular, and then there's, what's the other word? When you came from the peninsula of Europe, you were a peninsular,
Iberian.
Right?
Iberian.
And then the other one was a criollo. Isn't that the word?
The criollo is a child of two Spaniards that were born in the New World.
In the New World. So that's a whole different. But they're still
right.
Spaniards.
They're still Spaniards.
In fact, everybody back in that day was a Spaniard, because didn't the Spaniards claim all the Indians also?
They claimed everyone.
That's what I mean. So the Spaniards showed up in with it was it 1492.
Well,
1519 for Cortez.
1519 for Cortez. Cortez.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that story? I mean, we hadn't pre-talked about this, but it was a bizarre story about how the locals had been expecting something big to occur on that date.
Right. The Cortez shows up, but he actually shows up in Oaxaca. And through Veracruz, they go down and settle in Oaxaca because the natives there were very welcoming and were expecting them. So they found...
And that was a legend that they were expecting somebody big, and it wasn't necessarily
and
this
it
guy.
Was, no, it was a red-haired person. So it turned out that Hernán Cortés and actually many of the Spaniards were probably fair-skinned, light-haired, mm-hmm. Blue-eyed, green-eyed.
But the one I'm trying to get to is the legend was the return of someone like Quetzalcoatl.
Yes,
and that was the big deal. They knew somebody was coming, so these invaders hit the beach, and they don't think they're invaders.
Right, they don't think they're invaders.
Oh.
They welcome them. Actually, it was
Would
a good
like
thing.
Would you like to meet my daughter? Yeah, that kind of thing. Sure.
Well, but the natives in they felt comfortable because in Oaxaca there were farmers. There were actually. Structured civilizations so that they felt very comfortable. And it came to be that many of the natives, they started understanding each other, learning each other's languages. They had interpreters. And many of the tribes along those areas said, you know what, you need to help us with this other group of people over here, the Aztecs, because they're coming and killing us. And they said, well, you know, how big is it there? It was huge.
Oh, yeah.
They had, thousands of people there.
So Cortez shows up. He's got three ships. I think he burned the ships so the sailors wouldn't think they're ever going back.
Right.
So he had some horses, and he had some gunpowder and weapons.
Right.
And that's
so
why
that's
he got where he got.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, he goes out with all of these other tribes that are all friendly tribes. They all go out there to the Aztecs. They take over. And actually, there was a lot of fighting, but they did take over the city and
of what we know now as Mexico City.
Tenochtitlan.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. Tenochtitlan. And that was a city that was floating, basically. They had a weird thing to do. It was a bunch of lakes, a lake.
Right.
And they made floating buildings out there.
Well, they were actually on
islands?
Sand, little islands. And as the whole area grew, I mean, they would bring sand.
Okay, so they filled it in. Okay.
Yes, and which became amazing in itself.
And that became Mexico City.
Yes, that became Mexico City.
I just want to get the lay of the land there, because when Cortez showed up, he was not resisted until he got over to Mexico City.
Right.
So he showed up with the natives as part of his army?
Yes.
Oh, my. What did the Aztecs do?
Well,
they were not happy.
They were not happy, and they were already a very belligerent crowd. They were going out and attacking all of these other tribes.
Yeah, they were the aggressors.
They were the aggressors.
So the Spaniards showed up and took control and became the cops and ended up running the place.
Right.
Okay. I want to get the lay of the land here, because a lot of people...
kind of like the mafia, you know?
You see, a lot of people think the Spanish just showed up and were mean and nasty and were just wiping out people. Yeah. They made friends with the first couple
of
crowds.
Yes, they made friends with the first crowd.
And they went on about their business.
Yes. And so they went over, took over Tenochtitlan. They took over Montezuma's place. Cortez ends up marrying his daughter, and, you know, the rest is history, because
that was the first mestizo?
That was probably the first mestizo, or one of the first, because I'm sure that, you know, when they did come here, they were coming to Christianize, to colonize, and become part of whatever this was. They were hoping to find India, and Asia.
That's why they called them Indians.
Right. That's why they called them Indians.
Well, the thing was, the Spaniards in that era were, they would use the Christianization of people as sort of like a justification for what they were going to do. And they thought that was above any other level of reason to go after people. Plus, they wanted taxpayers. The King of Spain wanted taxpayers to put the crops in the bag and send 10% to Spain, or the gold.
It was a fifth to Spain.
A fifth, okay.
It was only a fifth.
Of the gold.
Of whatever it was that they found here. But, you know, that I think the primary reason and why the Spaniards were so successful is because they did feel a mission for Christianizing wherever it was that they were going. So their primary mission was to come and Christianize, and they felt that part of that reward would be the reward of the lands. So,
and if they didn't get that reward, they killed them.
No, that's not what happened.
It wasn't.
No, they just were not successful.
No, what I mean is, if a native did not want to become part of the system, what happened to him?
Oh, no, they weren't killed.
They weren't?
No.
They were just.
In fact, there are still tribes out there that stayed on their own.
Okay. See, so, this is history. I don't know. And so I know enough to ask stupid questions, which is why you're here, because you have the right answers for real questions. And it's Martha Vetta, and you're the honorary counsel to Spain from El Paso.
Actually, of Spain.
Of Spain.
From El Paso.
From El Paso.
In El Paso.
Okay.
Yes.
But that's who you are. How'd you get here? I mean, last I picked up your trail, you went to Eastwood.
Yes.
And then what happened to you?
And then I went to UTEP.
Okay.
I got my bachelor's and my master's there.
In what?
I got them in biology, chemistry. Cell biology is my master's.
So are you a medical type person in your real world?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay. But now for your real mission in life.
And business. Business administration. So.
Okay, but your real mission is to promote Spain.
Right.
Cool.
That's the real mission.
We got to take a break. Martha Vetta, so we can talk all day, which we probably will do up until noon. Because we haven't even gotten into what is New Spain yet. I want to set the ground for how New Spain occurred.
Okay.
And a lot of people think that the Spaniards just showed up and were mean, nasty, and terrible, but they met some of the same kind of resistance, shall we say, from the Aztecs, And the locals didn't like the Aztecs, apparently.
Right. The locals did not like the Aztecs.
That's why this worked. Okay, I get that. All right, well, did we cover anything in the trivia?
Yeah, I've got some questions here.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yes, I am.
It's Melissa Sargent, front and center, back in the trivia world. What do you got?
Okay, the first question we have for our trivia for $20 and food coupons at Pepe's in Canutio or at El Paso Gold DVD. The first question is, who was the first explorer to arrive in the New World or Mexico? What was his name? What explorer? Or and the second one is, besides the when the explorer came to the New World or the New Lands, his what was his goal for Spain? Was well, first of all, they were looking for new land or new lands to conquer, in a sense. Gold, silver, and then they were also here to promote what? We just talked about that.
The big thing.
What was the big thing they wanted to also promote besides, you know,
acquiring goods.
Yeah, acquiring goods. They wanted to promote some kind of spirituality. What was that?
Okay, we got that figured out. Okay, and so those are the questions?
Those are the questions.
That's not hard to do.
Those aren't hard.
You get 20 bucks in Pepe's for this?
That's right. And or an El Paso Gold DVD they could keep or give as a gift for Christmas.
That's true. You need some giveaway stuff.
That's right.
Stocking.
So call us at 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Ressler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
For your first car, your next car, that cool car, that smart car, it's all here at Casa Kia and CasaKia.com. I'm Luke Lowenfield, owner of Casa Kia on George Dieter, and I say that whole first car, cool car, and all that thing primarily because if I said, for your first car, new or used, your next car, new or used, it just wouldn't sound as cool. Here at Casa Kia, we have tons of awesome new Kias. In fact, we have six different models starting under $25,000. But we also have hundreds of awesome used cars, too. Here's what I really want you to know. You can start looking for your first car, your next car, all of our cars at CasaKia.com. That's cool and smart. You'll see we have great used cars for zero money down and no payments for 90 days. Payments starting under $200. Here at Casa Kia, we're easy to shop, easy to find on George Dieter across from Chico's Tacos. Just know, we're ready when you're ready to get you into a new Casa Kia, new or used, car, truck, or SUV that you'll love. So, for your first car, your next car, that cool car, that smart car, new or used, it's all here at Casa Kia and CasaKia.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
A lot going on here. Callers on the phone here. Martha Vera is still here. We didn't scare her off yet. No, she's still over there.
She's brave.
But we got to tell you about next week is going to be a very interesting presentation forum. It's called El Paso Preservation Forum on restoring Durangito, and it's held in the downtown El Paso Public Library. National and state-level experts moderated by himself, J.P. Bryan.
Yeah.
December 15th, 10 to 12:30 p.m. That's in the auditorium of the downtown public library. And the public forum is says here on my page, Restoring Durangito, featuring executive directors of Preservation Texas, the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, the Asian and Pacific Islander Americans in Historic Preservation, the president of the National, the Texas Historical Foundation, and the senior field director of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. So this is a whole crowd of people who now they know how to restore a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so they're going to bring their preservation expertise into this. And what we are going to do, our plan, and we'll see how we get, we're going to have Rick Kern down there giving us live reports on the phone. We are also looking at the idea that we may get it out live into our control room. And if we get that entire forum live in the control room, we will minimize what we do here, like knockoff trivia for that hour, and just put on as much of that forum as we can of these people.
And you can go down there, too. I mean, I think this is a great way for people to get to meet J.P. Bryan, which they've kind of made him sound like a bad man. But if you've seen the things he's done on preservation, we were down at the Bryan Museum in Galveston.
He's a fabulous Texan.
You want a museum, see his museum on the Southwest. He's done some exhibits on the Mexican Revolution, some on El Paso, even in his museum there.
Well, it's interesting.
He's done for Marathon, Texas, what he's done with the Gage Hotel and what he's done for the small community of Marathon. This man's not an evil guy.
He's a Texas oil man, and he's putting his money where his mouth is.
Exactly.
And not too many people do that. A lot of politicians like to put your money where their mouth is.
Yeah, he's not making money on us.
Oh, no.
I mean, he's putting his money into
us. He's trying to preserve Texas history, and he looks at what we have here as a major piece of that. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's what next week we're going to try to bring that to you live. Most of it, we can't do all of it, but we'll do quite a bit of it.
Oh, and
otherwise have reports. And in the second hour, I'm hoping to get Margaret Smith
she'll be here.
In the studio to talk about Trost in general.
Yeah, the family and her
and
background.
All of those people. Yeah. So that's we had scheduled that when this other thing hit the fan. So anyway, all right, moving on to other things. What have you?
Hey, you want to get out there today. They've got the Mineral Gem Jewelry and Bead Show will be going on till Sunday also. It's going to be, let's see, it's at the Shrine, where is it at? Oh, it's at the, club activities classroom. Wait.
Slow down.
Where to go?
It's over there somewhere. We'll get back to
it. It's the Elmina Shrine Auditorium over there on Alabama Street, and it's going to be from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. today and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it is a fabulous show. If you've never been out there, you're looking for some very unique gifts and items, and it's historical, maybe because it's rocks and gems, but other unique things, jewelry and everything else. Get out there. It's a great event to support. These are locals that are involved. Support these people. It's a great place to go to shop.
And we now do trivia.
We do.
We have callers on hold here named Brian and Michael. Michael looks like he's already punched on the air here. What is that? Let's go in the order that they call. We got Brian on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Brian? Okay, you ready? Okay. Who was the first explorer to arrive in the New World, especially in Mexico? You got it.
With the third base judge over here?
Yes.
Yes, okay. That's a real one here.
Okay, did you?
He got it.
Did you want a Pepe's or did you want an El Paso Gold DVD? Okay.
Anything else on your mind this morning? All right, when you call, I'm going to put you. Go ahead. All right, well, thank you for playing. I'll put you on hold. Shelley will pick you up and tell you how to get this prize. And we lost our other caller, so we have the other question. You throw it out there.
Oh, yeah. The other question was, besides looking for land, gold, and silver, what were they also doing to promote in the New World?
Why were they here? What was their reason for coming?
One of their reasons.
Besides being greedy and taking our gold. I shouldn't say it that way.
Yeah, I know, but...
No, you shouldn't say it.
I shouldn't say it that way. Martha's going to correct
me. I write them up. Just let me say them, okay?
Okay, fair enough. All right, we got to move on here because the other caller dropped off. Michael went away. Otherwise, we do have other things to give away. If somebody wants to call back, 544-5876, we'll probably play the game again here at some point. But Martha Vetta is here. We have a quick moment here. We have to go to another break. This is a double break moment, Martha. So correct me where I'm wrong here about the Spaniards because I sort of don't know what Spaniards did here. I really don't, and so that's kind of one reason I wanted to ask you to come in. But I have impressions that I have gotten from people who live here about the Spaniards. I'm guessing those might not be right.
No, they're not. And I think the importance is that you need to look at the archives and what was going on, what happened, what they actually brought to the New World. At that particular time, there was a race to get to Asia or India. And it wasn't just the Spaniards. They were the English, the French, and the Portuguese. So they were all coming this way because they all thought that India and Asia were
over here, on this side.
That direction.
In this direction.
Well, they were correct in the direction.
Well, yes.
But.
And so what they were doing is they wanted to be the first to take all of that merchandise that they were already getting from Asia and India. But it was taking them quite a long time. They thought it would be easier to go via the ocean, via the sea.
And so the French were involved in that too, weren't they?
Yes. So they were all involved.
Do you know how excited they must have all been when they found the St. Lawrence Seaway? Oh my God, we found the passage to India. And it dead ended in the
Right. And there was nothing here.
Yeah,
you know, and so what they did find was they found people here and some of them very friendly and some of them that weren't friendly.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and some of them were fighting each other.
Right.
And guys like the Spaniards showed up and became a referee from what we're talking about here.
Right. They actually became an ally.
Yeah.
And so, yes. But what the Spanish brought, they brought everything. They brought laws. They brought medicine. They brought seeds in their pockets. They brought every piece of livestock that we have here. The Texas Longhorn, it's really a Spanish bull, cow.
And who were the first cowboys?
The vaqueros.
The Spanish.
The Spanish.
And they taught the American cowboy how to be a cowboy.
Yes.
I love that story because a lot of, you know, hey, I'm a cowboy. Yeah, well, you got your start from being a Spaniard.
Right. They were the first equestrians.
Yeah,
in this New World.
Shelley, do we have another caller here? Because we're going to take another break here and come back. You do have one caller? Michael showed up back again. All right, put him on hold for me, if you don't mind. Michael, we got you on the radio. Thank you much. What's up? Michael's here.
What was that answer to that question, which was besides looking for a new land, gold? You got it.
Perfect.
They were coming to
Star.
The locals. Yeah.
Well, now, with the Pepe's is gone, but we do have El Paso Gold DVDs. Which one would you be interested in? We have Tom Lee. We have Gunfight Seal West. We've got Smelter Town.
Smelter's kind of bizarre. You like ghost stories?
We have,
okay. How about Tom Lee's El Paso? It's about old El Paso, talked by a guy who was there. We interviewed himself. Sure. Oh.
Yes.
And what is that called? And Mestizo.
That is very cool.
You got your very own title. That's really cool. Well, thanks for calling back, Michael. You did win a prize. Hold on here. Shelley will tell you how to pick it up, all right? Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening.
And good luck with your future now knowing your history. That's always fun to do. You know, I'm sort of afraid to get one of those DNA tests. I don't really want to know where that is.
Oh, we're all kind of like a, you know, hodgepodge. It was funny for me to find the Spanish. That threw me off because I don't know my father's.
You were Spanish.
Yeah, my father's side. And I don't know much about him.
That's
on
the
his
red
side.
Hair, the tinge of red hair you work with. It's
yeah,
a Spaniard,
well, that,
Southern.
Well, that and I'm Irish and German too. So, I mean, it's like, you know, throw it into the
you
pot.
You are a melting pool of some nature here. We should take a break here and do some more of this with Martha Vetta. Talking about New Spain, we'll get to what happened in El Paso and Juarez is what I wanted to know when we were New Spain. But you're going to get us there by talking
we'll
about Coronado next, right?
Yes.
Okay, do Coronado in a minute. We have to take a break here. Do Facebook.
I'm getting over there now.
Oh, you know, we had almost 4,000 people clicked. I'll have to go back and find that number. 4,000 people have seen Martha Vetta's promo since Wednesday when I put that on online. And Facebook is an interesting look at what we do. We use it because it's easy. And not everybody who listens to this show is on Facebook. So we had at least 4,000 Facebookers looking
at your
promo. It's always fun to do. All right, call us up if you need to or look on Facebook.
They can call us at 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. See website for details.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices, as low as $220 per eye with an absolutely free consultation. Text START to 350-350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use advanced FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK for as low as $220 per eye. Text START to 350-350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's START to 350-350.
There are lots of ads out there for cheap install-it-yourself home security systems, but they may leave you more frustrated than protected. I'm Allie, co-founder of Alarm.com. With Alarm.com systems, a local licensed security expert will professionally design a system to meet your needs. That same team professionally installs your system so it's working on day one. And all Alarm.com systems are professionally monitored 24/7 so you're always protected. When it comes to protecting your family, trust the experts. Visit Alarm.com/home today. That's Alarm.com/home.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
First of all, we need to thank the people in control room. They actually are working here and there.
They put up with this.
Shelley Sutherland taking the phone calls, talking to you about stuff if you call her up or go on the radio. Shelley. And Sergio Valenzuela, otherwise known as
Sergio Valenzuela.
That's because he scores a goal.
Yeah, every time.
Oh, there he is. He's calling himself up.
That's right.
Hello, this is Sergio Valenzuela. I have a fan club now. And yes, if you want to join the Sergio Valenzuela fan club, you can do that. All right, to where we are now. Oh, Ghost Light. I've got to talk about these guys. Ghost Light Entertainment presents a new book about Southwest history. Mm-hmm. And there are not a lot of new books about Southwest history.
No, they think they all found it.
This one is called Pirates in the Desert.
I love it.
And the debut by longtime San Elizario artist and historian Sam Sanchez Sr. is coming up. It's a collection of historical essays featuring 50 years of pen and ink drawings by the author. Pirates in the Desert, easy to read, hard to put down, revealing engaging survey of the birth of the American Southwest. Orders and bookings at samsanchezart.com. Or shopghostlight.com. And these are people we know.
Yes. Oh, this is great. I'm looking forward to this. The book premiere is Pirates in the Desert, Sunday, December 16th at 3:30 p.m. at the Adobe Horseshoe Theater at 1500 Main Street, San Elizario. This overview is through his essays and illustrations. Sam Sanchez Sr. gives us an intimate view of the transformations of the Rio Grande region at the southern tip of the Rocky Mountain chain. This remote, sun-baked territory became a sometimes violent interchange of ideas, cultures, and political systems. Sanchez also challenges us to question how much has really changed in our interactions today. So that's going to be a fantastic. I want to try to get down there because I think it's just wonderful. The Sanchez family.
That book signing and opening is that day, but we're going to have him on the radio in January.
Yeah,
So we will talk to him. Yeah,
but that's Vince. You always hear Vince Sanchez. That's his dad.
The same crowd down there.
Yeah, crazy Sanchez family. They're great.
4,039 people have looked at our promo on Facebook of Martha Vera standing there looking cool. And the thing says, when El Paso was New Spain. And I was intrigued by that because a lot of people don't even know we were part of Mexico.
Yeah.
But before that, it was?
New Spain.
New Spain. Right. Why was it New Spain?
It was New Spain because they came from Old Spain.
Oh, wow. Well, pretty simple stuff.
Many of the cities that we see in Mexico, as well as here in the U.S., that were Spanish colonies, have names of the that are still in Spain, such as Zaragoza, such as...
How about Santa Fe?
Albuquerque, Santa Fe, those Veracruz.
Albuquerque is a Spanish word?
Albuquerque is...
Oh, I thought it was a tribe of Indians or something. No.
Albuquerque is actually a Middle Eastern name.
Oh.
And so there is a place.
That's why it's so hard to spell.
Well, when the Spaniards rolled in, they were the only written down language educated type people from Europe that had ever been here, I think.
Right.
But they started
the first.
But before Oñate and his big expedition with hundreds of people and horses and carretas and guns galore, you had a band of dudes named Coronado Ran, and those were also authorized Spaniards to go into the New World from Mexico City. That was their base, right?
Right.
What was that all about?
Well, that happened 50 years prior to Oñate, when Francisco Vázquez de Coronado, he was inspired by tales of Fray Marcos de Niza. He led an army up the west coast of Mexico, went up and visited the pueblos of the Rio Grande into Arizona and over through the panhandle of Texas.
And this is Coronado.
Coronado, yes. He explored for 2 years, didn't find anything. He was looking for the seven cities of gold, for Cibola.
He ended up in a Texas panhandle at the Palo Duro Canyon.
Yes.
It's bizarre what the guy did.
He was all over the place because he was looking for these cities of gold, which didn't exist.
And if he had found them, boy, would he be a cool dude, huh? Well, you know what? When Oñate did his thing, Oñate was looking for a mountain of silver. And he had figured out there could be another one because his father found one.
Right.
Tell us that story.
His father had found one with four other partners. One of them was Juanes de Toloso, who was the father of his wife. So he had married Cortes's daughter.
Oh.
And so that's how they knew each other from childhood and eventually married. So they were both very well-to-do families.
You mean Oñate and Coronado?
No.
Oñate.
This is after Coronado.
Who two guys are you talking about?
Oñate's father, Cristobal. Oh. Because you're asking me about
I didn't know the guy's name. It's Cristobal?
Okay, Cristobal Oñate is the father.
All right.
Don Juan de Oñate's father. His mother is Catalina, and she is the descendant of a converso family. So she came from a Jewish family that had converted to Catholicism.
There was a lot of that going on back there, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, but to the point of Coronado, I mean,
He came and he left. He went back to Mexico empty-handed, and that kind of ended his career.
But the stories he brought back,
yes,
guys like Oñate heard them and believed them, basically,
well, everybody
right?
Everybody did.
Well,
yes,
I mean, but Oñate did something about it.
Well, it was actually many people that did about it,
okay.
A lot about it. So once he had come back, there were certain laws that were set into place. The law, Spanish law of 1542, which came from the king, and a benevolent government, friars and friends of the natives, had set into play these laws that spoke about peaceful colonization. So they were not to hurt anyone here, any of the natives. In 1573, another set of laws came, and these benefited the natives by regulating Spanish colonization and settlement. So only the missionaries were allowed to go out and venture among the tribes and let them know that there were people that were coming that were going to settle, and they were going to leave the natives alone, but they were going to be here. So what's happening? Don Juan de Oñate's family has been mining Zacatecas. One-fifth of that is going to Spain, right? They ended up with millions coming from that silver mine, and they decided to look for other mines. So they begin to come up north and find a mine in Valle de San Bartolomé, and they start to mine that one. Pretty soon, there's natives that are coming. They're trading with other natives, with people that are working in the mines, and they're talking about all of these pueblos and the riches that are up there. So everyone's thinking, well, you know, they've got stones, they've got beads, they've got things that they're trading.
Some copper in there somewhere from Casas Grande, maybe?
Actually, yeah, pieces.
Yeah.
Because they...
The
natives really didn't work silver or were not able to smelt any of that. So they start advancing into what is now Chihuahua. They end up there, and then there are groups of people that are starting to do a little bit more exploration. So then we have
Coronado.
Let me go ahead.
What years were Coronado? They were like 1540s,
yes.
Something there, yeah.
Yes.
And then
so
there was...
Oñate wasn't even born yet.
But there were also a couple of other expeditions. There was Chamuscado,
and there was something and Espejo.
And one of those was not authorized. He got busted, right?
There were several that got busted. A couple that were busted.
They thought they were going to come up here and get some gold and go home with it, didn't they?
Right.
Uh-uh.
So Chamuscado comes first, and he finds that the natives here are very friendly.
Did he come through El Paso?
He did not come through El Paso.
He came close, didn't he?
He came close.
Like down south of San Elie or something?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. So Chamuscado's coming. Let's see.
Well, Coronado was the big one.
Right.
Coronado, it made the noise, and he was authorized, and it made the splash about, Sylvan Cities of Gold and all that. Right. And he brought back stories, and some priest was with him or something, I think, that had stories of natives that everybody was believing.
Right, that there were natives that none of them were hostile.
Well, I think basically what the natives were doing was saying, you know that big pile of gold you're looking for? See that mountain range over there? It's just on the other side.
On the other side, so they kept going.
As soon as you get out of sight,
we'll
be happy about this. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Well, and this was Coronado.
Yeah.
So that was Coronado.
They
so
did
he
that
kept
to him
going.
All over the place.
Yes.
Go north, hang left, then keep going north, hang another right, and then keep...
Two stars to the right and on till morning.
And there was
Peter
nothing
Pan
there.
Shows up.
That's right.
But the whole thing was kind of bizarre because the Spanish kind of came here in dribs and drabs. And all of a sudden, Oñate, it sounds like now I know how he got his money to finance his expedition. He had to finance his own expedition, right?
He had to finance.
Okay, so he's got 500 people with him.
Right.
120, some of them were soldiers. And so he rolls through El Paso in a big way, died almost several times, almost dying here and there, but didn't quite make it to dying. And he was 48 years old when he did this. That was old in those days.
Yes. In fact, there were about 9 people that had tried to apply. You had to apply for this
permission
to come here because the king said, you know what, I think it's a good idea to go to New Mexico and find all of these lands north, and maybe we can find the South Sea. Because they thought the North Sea and the South Sea were the Atlantic and Pacific.
Okay.
And they thought it was right next to this, whatever New Mexico.
It might have been,
but
they didn't know.
Right, they didn't know. And so that, so they were coming. So once Oñate is, because all of these other 9 people were not accepted when they made their applications.
So Oñate got the deal. He had to amass all these people. He found enough crazy nuts to go with him.
Right.
And of course, there was a bunch of them. There's, adventure, gold, hey.
Yes.
And it didn't turn out as well.
It didn't turn out that way.
No.
And so Viceroy Luis de Velasco is a friend of Oñate's. In fact, he has been mentoring Oñate since he was a soldier in his youth. And so they've known each other. They're friends. And he said, do you want to go do this expedition? And he said, yes. He said, well, you have to self-fund it. And you have to get all of the people and make sure you have enough provisions.
But Daddy had millions from that silver mine.
Right. And so did Oñate.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so he said, yes, I'll do it. So he gets a lot of his friends, and these were all well-to-do people, you know, people that had jobs, people that were well-educated, people that knew about farming, about going out on the land.
So they hopped into Caretta and joined him.
And they hopped on and said, we're going out there.
All right, hold it right there. We've got to take a break here. Martha Vetta is here telling stories about old Spain and new Spain and all kinds of Spain. We'll take a break here and come back in a moment.
I think we should take a break.
544-whatever?
5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
Are you or a loved one over 65? You're at greater risk of serious complications from the flu. Fever is the main difference between cold and flu, so you need an accurate thermometer. The Exogen Temporal Scanner is backed by more than 70 clinical studies and is quick and easy to use.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
A lot going on here. We got exhibits at various museums. You got to check out the Wall of Giants at the Museum of History. They're still doing the Federal Reserve down there. And up at UTEP, they've got an exhibit that we'll be talking about on a show in January about downtown El Paso and what goes on there. So there's a lot to be done here with museums. In fact, the McGoffin Home is another place you might want to go. They got decorated for Christmas down there.
Oh, it's so pretty, yes.
And you got stuff to talk about. What do you got?
We got the Waco Tanks. They got some great programs going out there. They got the Junior Ranger program going on the 15th. The 13th, they've got Critters of the Night. They've got Holiday Camp Out.
Critters of the Night.
Holiday Camp Out at Waco Tanks Friday and Saturday, December 21st and 22nd. So what I would do is go out to their website, check it out, or give them a call out there at 857-1135 and find out these great programs, because the kids are going to be home pretty soon bugging you anyway. So get them out there, get them something different, or kids coming in from out of town.
They got programs you can put people into and have a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, and it goes on all year round.
Oh, it
but
does.
I mean, these would be really nice this time of year, especially with the skies are so nice and
also
clear.
There's a hike through time coming up at Mount Cristo Rey. We got to talk about it. It's on the 30th. We'll get you that information. All right, Martha Vettis here. We're gonna keep her here for 2 hours and talk in New Spain and stuff like that. But the idea, okay, get us in our story. So Oñate ends up in Albuquerque.
Right.
What happens? I mean, he rolled. How they got through the Jornada del Muerto is fascinating.
It is fascinating.
They should have all died.
Quite a bit.
They should have all died.
Yes, they had to leave some of their carretas by the river because it was so muddy.
Oh.
They continued northward, and they left some people there because they were going to come back and pick them up.
Okay, start. But he got through El Paso. He crossed the river here.
They crossed the river at, what's now?
The pass.
The pass.
And they're not referring to them.
It was called La Puerta.
Okay, but
at that particular time.
It wasn't necessarily the space between the mountains they're referring to. It's the crossing of the river.
It was the crossing of the river. And they stayed along the river.
And you call it the gate?
They called it the gate.
Okay.
Because it was the entrance. And now what's important is that at San Elisario, they took possession of the land.
Okay, wait a minute. But when they crossed the river, they called it El Paso, which is how we got what we got.
No.
Somebody did.
El Paso del Norte was actually in Ciudad Juarez, which was named later.
Oh, so it wasn't the crossing of the river.
Right, no.
Okay, now go back to San Elizario and the Toma.
Okay, so Don Juan de Oñate takes possession of the land for God and the king and for the preservation of the natives and the Spaniards. So he does that on April 30th, 1598. And then he comes up the river. They come up the river. They cross at that pass, and they go north. And they finally make it to what's now, San Juan de los Caballeros, which is Ocahuengue.
All the way up to the top of New Mexico.
Right. And it's actually north of Española.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there. Don Juan de Oñate decides to go with one of the priests to go find the salt areas out there. So they go to the salines that are close to the Pecos. They head out. It's getting cold. And it's about this time, you know, it's about close to December 4th, which is when the Acoma.
You got a minute left in
problem.
This hour.
Okay. So there's a fight. The natives kill 13 of the Juan de Oñate's men.
Yeah.
And Don Juan de Oñate doesn't know. So he's out there in Pecos, and he starting to make his way back on December 12th because he wanted to be back in San Juan de los Caballeros for Christmas.
Okay.
So he gets met by one of the other soldiers and some of the people that survived that massacre. And they said, well, this is what happened to us. So he's very depressed. He comes back, and they tried to decide what is the right thing to do, because they have to follow the rules, and they have to follow the rules of 1575. So in so doing, they have a mass meeting. They ask the Franciscans to help decide what they're going to do. And what they say is, and it's very, very important.
Yeah, 20 seconds.
Okay. There were four things that they had to do that the Franciscans said were elements of a just war. Because they had to punish. So one was protection of the innocent, restoration of goods seized, punishment of any transgressors according to the law, and preservation of peace.
We have to pick it up next hour. Martha Vera is here talking about stuff. We're going to come back and do this again. What's on your mind?
Really quick. Archery at the Museum of Archaeology has been canceled due to inclement weather.
They can't see the targets.
No, they can't.
It's kind of messy out there, so be careful. All right, I'll be back after the news. More with about New Spain. Here on the El Paso History Radio Show.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.